This message comes from NPR sponsor, the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited 2x miles on every purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
This is World Cafe. I'm Rena Duris. The first lyric you hear in the title track to Kacey Musgraves' new album, Deeper Well, is the line, "My Saturn has returned." It's an astrology reference. You might be well-versed in astrology, but if you're not, your Saturn return is when the planet Saturn returns to the same position it was in the sky when you were born. They say that your Saturn return is a period of great change. Usually happens during your late 20s or early 30s. And Kacey Musgraves has just gone through it. Recorded at Electric Lady Studios in New York with longtime collaborators Daniel Tashian and Ian Fitchuk, Deeper Well explores big lessons and big questions about self-love, the afterlife, our relationship to nature, and more. Our conversation about the album and, well, about life in general is coming up. But first, from Deeper Well, here is Kacey Musgraves' Sway on World Cafe.
When the wind blows, it can push you around again, shake you. Maybe you can show me, seems like you know how, and I'll let it faze you. If I didn't wanna take control, I could let go. Maybe one day I'll learn how to sway.
On World Cafe, that was Kacey Musgraves with Sway from her new album, Deeper Well. I'm Rena Duris. Kacey Musgraves is with me today. Kacey, welcome back to the World Cafe.
Thank you, Rena. I'm so excited to be here. I always look forward to chatting with you guys.
Oh, I'm so glad you're here. I want to start where the album was made, because to make this album, you wanted to go somewhere other than Nashville. You ended up at Electric Lady Recording Studio in New York. Why were you pulled to New York City?
Well, first off, I've been fortunate enough to experience many cities around the globe, and New York City is always one of my very favorites. I just feel so alive and energized here. It's so multicultural and layered and historic and honestly really inspiring. You know, I think there's something to the fact that it's so many levels of humanity just like on top of each other. It's like on one hand, this great equalizer, this great common denominator, but you're also like, humanity's in your face, all the emotion, all the energy. And I just, there's something really special about that. So yeah, I had never created a record in another location. I usually just did that kind of at home. And this time I just felt a big pull to New York City. And, you know, the heart of Greenwich Village is sort of famous for storytelling and songwriting and poetry and folk songs. So it was a natural place to want to explore.
Yeah. So you worked at Electric Lady Recording Studio. One of the rooms that you worked in a bunch was actually Jimi Hendrix's bedroom. Could you set the scene for us? Could you kind of paint the picture? What is it like being in that room?
Well, one thing that's great about Electric Lady is that there's these beautiful windows that overlook Greenwich Village and the hustle and bustle of what's going on below. And, you know, fire escapes and plants on windowsills and people kind of living their everyday lives just directly across from the windows in the studio. There's the most beautiful vinyl collection, equipment and instruments there. These amazing murals that Jimmy himself had commissioned when he was still living and living there. And there's also a beautiful terrace that you can go, a rooftop that you can go out on. And so you're kind of surrounded by all these buildings and, you know, there's life just bustling all around you. And, but inside there's like a really serene feeling. And the studio is very, they haven't really touched it since Jimmy like chose all the decor, all the colors, like it's the same. So it kind of feels like a time capsule.
Wow. So yeah, you're really transported to like a different time and place.
Definitely.
I'm speaking with Kacey Musgraves on World Cafe. The guitar feels so present throughout the album and it gives the record this soft kind of calming spirit. What were the early conversations with your co-producers, Ian Fitchuk and Daniel Tashian, like about what you wanted this music to feel like?
Yeah, I love acoustic instruments so much. The warm, wooden, organic sounds, I knew that this record would be different in that way. Like with Starcross, I think it was a little bit harder edged. It was a divorce album. It was more dramatic and acerbic. And there was a lot of more electronic instruments. And this time I was like, okay, I'm older now. I'm a little bit wiser. Like I live in the heart of the woods. My feet are firmly planted in who I am. And I just feel really grounded. And I want the instruments to reflect that. And there's nothing more grounded sounding to me than like a good old finger-picked acoustic guitar, or like a hint of a banjo here or there, or like just a touch of a pedal steel guitar. It's like these instruments that are inherent to country music, but maybe in a more modern kind of minimalistic environment, like the really warm, organic, you know, kind of bucolic, traditional folk and country sounds that kind of balance it all out. I just love playing with that balance.
Yeah. I do want to talk about the way that you write and you produce in a few minutes. When we come back from another song, we're going to listen to the title track next. Before we hear it, could you talk about writing this song there in New York and why it felt like this had to be the title track?
You know, there wasn't really much shape to anything yet, other than the fact that we were just kind of collecting songs that felt really good and just exploring sounds. And one of the days up there in New York at Electric Lady, we wrote this song, Deeper Well, and it came about through conversation about life and friendships and like kind of where I'm at and, you know, wanting to remove resistance to growth in a lot of areas, what, you know, in whatever way that might mean. But that song for me really cuts to the core of like, and this album too, it just cuts to the core of the human experience for me. And I feel like just an observer in that and lucky to be conscious and alive and, you know, kind of a narrator in that sense. You know, they're my stories, but they're emotions that we all have. And Deeper Well is something I feel like the older I get, the more I realize I really need depth. You know, the small talk, the superfluous friends, the, you know, saying yes to things that you're like, at the end, you just feel icky. You're like, why did I say yes to that? I think there's a confidence that comes with getting older and, you know, knowing that it's okay to say no, and it'll actually leave more room for the things that really matter.
Yeah. And you know that, you know, as you get older, you realize that time is actually a finite resource and not something you have endlessly.
That's the thing, is like, we are really here for such a short amount of time in the grand scheme. And so like, make it count, make it like your story, write it how you want to, you know? And I think we can get in our heads about, well, this other person, that's not going to make them happy or whatever. At the end of the day, it's like, it's your story, write it how you want to, you know?
We're going to listen to Deeper Well right now. We'll come back in a minute. This is Casey Musgraves on World Cafe.
So I'm saying goodbye to the people that I feel are real good at wasting my time. No regrets, baby. I just think that maybe you go your way and I'll go mine. It's been a real good time. You got dark energy, something I can't unsee, and I've got to take care of myself. I found a deeper well.
Casey Musgraves. That's the title track from her new album, Deeper Well. It is World Cafe. I'm Raina Duris. Casey Musgraves is my guest today. There's a story that you've told throughout the years through your records of discovering who you are, where you came from, falling in love, falling out of love. How would you describe this latest chapter in your creative arc where Deeper Well sits?
To me, this record is different than the last, because the last one was really specific to a certain relationship, you know, and kind of the ups and downs of that. And this one is more macro than that to me. Like, yes, a personal relationship was, you know, the catalyst for a lot of the feelings and ideas there, but to reduce it to just that would be doing it a big disservice, I feel, because it's really about, like, when you zoom out, it's about lightness and darkness. It's about nature and vulnerability, like deep vulnerability, and learning how to advocate for yourself in that way. And what you need really from another person, what does love look like? What does intimacy look like? What is God, you know, is in all senses, like, what is that? Is there a creator? Is there a blueprint for anything? You know, what happens when we die? There's all these questions. And it wasn't until after I made the record that I realized there's a lot of like reference to the other side and questions and kind of that mystery. And like, I didn't really know that, like, until I zoomed out and saw all the songs on paper. And I was like, wow, there's really kind of a theme there here. It's a little bit witchy.
Yeah. I'm glad you mentioned that, because when we were preparing for this interview, I was like, death comes up a lot, but it never feels like a dark,
like
depressing
morose
album. You do notice that like it pops up.
Totally. There's several songs at least that have, yeah, a reference to death. I'm like, damn, I didn't know that I was so morose over here. You know, what happens when we die? Isn't it amazing if we all stop to think, you know, we live in this world that is so factual and the curtain has been removed from so many things and it's all, you know, it's black versus white, it's red versus blue, it's every, you know what I mean? And it's really crazy if you really stop and think about it, that we're all in it together in the sense that we all don't know anything.
No one knows anything.
No, we don't. And I think we, like, it's nice to remember that sometimes.
Yeah, it's a leveler for sure. There is a lyric in Deeper Well, "So I'm getting rid of the habits that I feel are real good at wasting my time." And we talked about this a little bit a minute ago, but was there a moment when you remember realizing, like, oh man, my life is too complicated, and you decided it was time to simplify?
I don't know if there was like a one aha moment. I think it's just a matter of like really taking stock of the things that, you know, serve you or whatever. And what might have worked for you 5 years ago, it may not really work for you now. You know, like I used to be the world's biggest pothead, honestly. And I think it works for a lot of people. I think it's a great medicine tool for so many reasons. But for me, when I would, you know, kind of come back to that, I just would get a lot of anxiety. And so I was like, all right, maybe it's time to just, you know, I don't need to beat myself up for letting it go. Like, I know I'm kind of known for that, but it's like, okay, it's not working right now. That's fine. There's other stuff. There's meditation. There's whatever. You know what I mean?
It is amazing that you made your post-quitting pot record in Jimi Hendrix's bedroom. I just
That's very ironic. Well, it's also really ironic to me that I came to New York to make music and I ended up really tapping into such like a woodland, soft kind of Americana country place.
Yeah.
You know?
It really does take you far away from what people think of when they think of New York, I think.
Mm-hmm.
There's the abstract decluttering of the soul, if you want to call it that. There's also literally cutting down and editing songs when you're a songwriter. You've said that they've nicknamed you the Axe Man in the studio because you'll chop stuff down. Have you always been somebody who was good at making cuts to things?
I think it's because I'm on the cusp of being a Virgo. I'm like, I'm a Leo, but literally the next day after my birthday is Virgo territory. And so I have this, like, for better and worse, a really discerning eye for like what immediately needs to change in a situation. And it can really serve me well. It has served me well, but I also need to learn, like, one of my, you know, journeys in this life is learning when to turn that off, you know?
Sure.
And it's a struggle because it's a great tool, especially in the studio. Like, I love working by elimination, you know, where you just try to find the perfect balance through slowly eliminating things or replacing just meticulously, and everything has a purpose. And if there's anything that feels too decorative for like no reason, just doesn't feel authentic to me. So I love muting things. And so it's hard when I'm working with other people because it's like, I want to give them the chance to express themselves as well and try something out. Like, hey, okay, I heard an electric guitar on this part. Okay, try it out. But I can really instantly know pretty quickly if something isn't right.
What about when it comes to lyrics? Like, how often do you find yourself tinkering or debating or wondering if this is the right word? Because you're very good at writing these simple phrases that are full of meaning that are, I guess, is the word deceptively simple? Does that mean it's more or less simple than it appears? Either way, you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's one of my favorite examples of this in songwriting is John Prine. You know, he says something, it's so poignant. It's like kind of layman's poetry in a way.
Blow up your TV, throw away your paper, go to the country, build you a home, plant a little garden, eat a lot of peaches, try and find Jesus on your own.
But it's really hard to write like that. And, you know, you just have to I feel like you have to really refine the tip of your pencil, like what you really want to say. And, you know, I think there's always drafts to things, meaning I'll like get an initial of, okay, here's kind of what I want to say. And then we kind of figure out the flow. And then I try to tighten that up even more. I might go in two or three times to really say, okay, no, it's this word or this word. And I just try to get it as conversational as possible.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have a hard time self-editing, whether it's creative work or their closet full of clothes they don't wear or books that they have to admit that they're never going to read. What advice would you give to someone who has a hard time making cuts?
It's really hard. I mean, I think you have to start where something feels good. Like, how would it feel if you lost this song and it wasn't on the album? Is there a pang inside of your heart that says, oh, like that feels wrong? Okay, that means you need to keep it.
I'm speaking with Kacey Musgraves today on World Cafe. The album is brand new. It's mid-March, and it's kind of the perfect springtime album. It's like new beginnings and the greenness of it all. And there is a theme on the album of eschewing material stuff in favor of the natural world, or for more simple things. Songs like Heaven Is, where you're given a lavender rose, and that's what heaven is. It's not money or fame.
Or
Lonely Millionaire, which is kind of like a warning that money is not going to buy you happiness. And Heart of the Woods, where you remind us that it's in our nature to care about each other. Why was nature the place that you looked to for answers?
Nature is everything. To me, nature is God. You know, I think the word God is used in so many expansive ways, and everyone's got their own interpretation of that. And for me, that's nature. Like, I saw a quote the other day that really stuck with me, and it said, the ultimate rich is being in tune with the cosmic flow. It's being in tune with the laws of nature and like really listening. You know, if a relationship or something isn't right for you, nature is going to whisper and whisper and whisper and whisper. If you keep ignoring it, it's eventually going to scream, you know. Like, I've in my meditation practice and just throughout this past year and writing these songs, it's like I'm trying to, you know, just really trust that nature has my back. Like, that God, nature, the universe, the flow of life, the cosmos, whatever it is. It's like if one door closes, something else will make sense, hopefully, you know. And I'm just trying to trust that through, you know, relationships ending, things changing, you know, aging, seeing my parents age, everything. It's like just in this journey of life, I think the ultimate rich is leaning into that and trusting it, you know, and being in tune with that.
Yeah. I want to play Heart of the Woods next.
Okay.
What can you tell us about this song before we hear it?
Well, I moved to the Heart of the Woods last year, and I couldn't love my house more. And I struggled with that in the last place that I lived. I didn't love being alone there that much. I got kind of some anxiety. I always felt like I needed to be doing something. And I just got on Zillow one night, and I wasn't even like planning on moving, but I found this place. And it's literally on the edge of a national park. And it feels like my own special little piece of earth. And there's deer and turkey and I saw a baby bobcat the other day, and it's just outside of Nashville. And so it's still convenient, but it's like, it's really special. It has a really good energy there. And I love this song. One thing about this song is, okay, so you know Paul Stamets, he's one of my heroes. He's a mycologist, brilliant guy. You should watch the documentary called Fantastic Fungi. It's
yes.
A trip. It's such a trip. But he's an advocate for plant therapy and psilocybin use. He's just a really cool guy. And my dream is to do a woodland walk and talk with him, you know, in the Heart of the Woods with Paul Stamets. But in his documentary, he talks about the network of mycelium that's kind of under the forest floor, and it's communicating like intelligently through the roots of the trees, and it sends out signals, and it's like a sentient force, which is really trippy, you know? The song opens kind of talking about the mycelium network, you know?
I want you to know that is the first thing I thought of when I heard those lyrics was the mycelium network. That makes me so happy.
Dude, there's like stuff going around all, you know, we get so caught up in our dumb little like social media worlds and our like arguments at work and this, that, and the other. And it's like, there is some really cool other stuff happening underneath
huge
our feet,
stuff.
Above our head all the time. All it never stops. And it's going to keep going whether we are here or not.
It's like overwhelming, but also incredibly comforting at the same time.
It's both. It is both. It's like if you get stuck really thinking about it, you can just trip yourself out. But it's also like, it's amazing.
Yeah. Here's Heart of the Woods. It's Kacey Musgraves on World Cafe.
Under the ground, there's a neighborhood that can't be seen. Communicating through
On World Cafe, that was Kacey Musgraves. I'm Raina Duras, hanging out with Kacey Musgraves today, talking about her new album, Deeper Well. There is a real feeling of safety or refuge, like a non-judgmental warmth. It feels like you're showing, not just for yourself, but offering to other people with this album. What do you hope people get out of listening to this record?
I always just hope, you know, people feel connection through my songs. I think ultimately these songs are written for me. That's why I make my music, is for myself. It feels good. It's cathartic, you know, but I think it's a beautiful vehicle for connection between other humans, and knowing that we really are all in this together, and that we've, you know, felt the same things and we desire the same things, you know, that there are other people out there like me that like, that see love in the same way and crave the same things. You know, I think it's a beautiful way art is to let us know that we're really not alone, you know, and ultimately too, just like in a less serious sense, just something nice to put on that feels good. Just something that makes you feel good, you know?
Yeah. It's interesting. It's like you're creating your own mycelium network.
I love that.
I'm speaking with Kacey Musgraves on World Cafe today. You've also been doing a bunch of actual collaborations in the last little while. I think in the two-ish years between your solo albums, you've put out collabs with Matty Diaz, Noah Kahan. You earned your first Billboard number one hit last year with Zach Bryan on I Remember Everything. What does it do for you creatively to work with other artists when you're between albums?
It's actually a very fun challenge for me to step into someone else's world and collab. There's so many amazing songwriters and musicians out there. And I'm happy to call a lot of these people friends now. And I just love to see their worlds kind of exploding and them doing their own thing. And it's like, you know, between records, sometimes you have the itch to do something, to see a vision through. And so it's kind of a nice little like micro little burst of creative energy.
Well, like I said, that duet with Zach Bryan ended up becoming your first number one on the Hot 100 chart. It was the first time a country duet has gone to number one on that chart since Dolly Parton and Kenny Rogers' Islands in the Stream in 1983, which is 40 years ago. We're going to listen to the song in just a second, but I did not know this until today. I went back and I was doing some reading. You had strep throat when you recorded your part of this song.
Yeah, so my throat was like really hurting really bad. And I had just gone on this friend trip and I was just was like feeling super run down. I was like, God, my throat hurts. And I don't know why, but I freaking get strep throat like every year. But I was like, I think I have strep. I think, but they were like, but you like, you've agreed, you know, you wanted to do the song and the deadline is like basically tomorrow. So if you want to get in on this, which I was like, of course, like love Zach, you know, I want to do it. But like my throat really hurts. And I don't know if I can like attain the normal tone that I like normally sing with. So I was like, I'll give it a shot. So I go in the studio and I'm like, damn, this is like, it's pretty hard to sing this song like this. But I was like, let me just get a version down that I think is pretty good. And we'll just kind of see, you know. So I did that and immediately left the studio and I went to the I had a doctor's appointment to see what was going on. And I legitimately had strep throat. So I know I'm not supposed to cuss on here, but it's like brings a new meaning to sick as it's like, but make it literal. Yeah, it was it's just a funny, you just never know what something is going to be, you know, it's just, it was funny.
Yeah, that's amazing. Here's Zach Bryan and Kacey Musgraves. It's I Remember Everything.
You're drinking everything to ease your mind. But where the hell are you gonna ease mine? You're like concrete feet in the summer heat. Like hell when two souls meet. No, you'll never be the man that you always swore. But I'll remember you singing in that 84.
It is World Cafe. I'm Raina Duras with Kacey Musgraves today on the show. You just heard her duet with Zach Bryan from last year called I Remember Everything. She now has a new album out called Deeper Well. I Remember Everything also happens to be the title of a song by John Prine. And I know we talked about John Prine a little earlier. I know he has had a big influence on you as a songwriter.
Oh, totally.
The album's opening track of Deeper Well, Cardinal, I think you said is about losing John Prine.
Mm-hmm.
Could you talk about writing this song?
I love Cardinal so much. And I knew the minute we recorded, I was like, okay, this would be such a great record opener with that lick. But there's a lot of people who believe that cardinals are spirit messengers from the other side. That goes way back, that thought. And whether that's true, after John passed away, he himself believed that his mother, her spirit kind of embodied a cardinal. And he told me that one time. So sadly, we lost him due to COVID. And sometime after that, just some interesting things started happening. There was an experience with a Ouija board that I'll probably get judged for, so I probably shouldn't go into it here, but it was a really unforgettable, very positive, like his wife knows about it, insane thing that happened that I've literally never experienced before. Some friends and I were kind of just like, not really joking around, but we're getting on there just for fun. All I'm saying is that a message from him came through that I really needed at the time. I was freshly divorced and figuring that out, and I was really in a sad place. And there were these messages that came through, a song that came from that. And then little things started happening, just synchronicities. This cardinal would visit every day and look in this window at my house. It would be on this branch, and it just felt very intentional. Yeah. Lights would turn off and on by themselves. Like, there was something mailed to my house that I did not order, that had Fiona's name on it, Fiona, his wife. There were just several things. And I was just like, okay, you know, cardinal, are you sending me a message? Are you here to bring me a message from the other side? Or are you just, you know, sitting pretty on a branch waiting for spring? Like, that imagery kind of generated that song.
Man, that gave me actual chills when you were explaining all of that. I mean,
it got really interesting. And I don't know, it's like, who's to say what happens on the other side? But, you know, energy, it doesn't seem like it just ever goes away. It maybe just kind of dissipate. It like it changes form or doesn't, I don't know. We don't know. Yeah. And I'd like to think that maybe John Prine's a guardian angel. I would take that.
Well, it's really beautiful. We're going to listen to Cardinal right now. It'll be the last song of this interview. First song from the album. This is Cardinal from Deeper Well.
I took a walk in the city.
From Kacey Musgraves' new album, Deeper Well, you just heard Cardinal. I'm Raina Duris. Kacey Musgraves has been my guest on World Cafe today. That's the first song from the album. The album's out now, so you can just go and listen to the rest of it whenever you're ready to do that. Kacey, thank you so much for taking the time today to talk.
I loved our chat. I could honestly just keep talking to you for days. I wish all interviews could be this easy and fun, and I just... you guys always getting to the heart of the matter and the songs and the songwriting and the process and everything. And it's always inspiring to chat with you.
Well, thank you so much. Love the album. It's my pleasure to get to prepare for an interview like this because there is so much to talk about. So thank you. I'm Raina Duris, back in a moment with more World Cafe.
Is it possible to engineer our way out of the climate crisis? Some entrepreneurs want to shoot particles into the stratosphere to combat global warming. Experts say regulations on this technology aren't keeping up. The world of solar geoengineering on the latest episode of The Sunday Story from NPR's Up First podcast.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Dignity Memorial. When your celebration of life is prepaid today, your family is protected tomorrow. Planning ahead is truly one of the best gifts you can give your family. For additional information, visit dignitymemorial.com. Support for NPR and the following message come from Sattva. Sattva luxury mattresses are every bit as elegant as the most expensive brands, but because they're sold online, they're about half the price. Visit SAATVA.com/NPR and save an additional $200.